God so loved us that he showed us a lot of mercy. Amen. Amen. I pray that today, and I pray by the grace of God, this season and this moment will be a fresh encounter for all of us. Amen. Amen. The difference between Christianity, the celebration of Christ, that's what Christmas is, service of Christ. The difference between Christianity and every other religion, every other gods, little g's, is the reason for this season. Amen? And the reason for this season, the difference is this. That the moment you receive that gift, we receive Christ, it's a gift. And then we are born again. Amen? The other religion have to work very hard to be righteous. They have to work very hard finding salvation, trying to find salvation, trying to be good enough to be righteous, trying to be very good people. So Christianity is the only living faith that you receive by receiving Christ. You become a Christian when you receive Christ. That's it. Every other religion works for it. You can never be good enough. You can never earn righteousness. From the fall of man, everything was corrupt. So, Christianity, you're not working to be righteous. The moment you receive Christ, you receive his righteousness. Amen? Amen. It's the only true religion, and when you receive Christ, you become a Christian. Every other religion works to become righteous, and the righteousness is a filthy rag. Exactly today, 32 years ago, exactly today, 1991, you've heard me say so much about what happened 1991 to me, the vision, it was exactly today. 1991, 17th December, I experienced, to me, what I would call Christmas. My life was radically given to God around September of that year, 1991, in a conference. And from that day, I made a covenant with God to enter into seeking after God and praying. So I continued. I was doing that. It was this morning while we're praying, the Lord reminded me. Because I always make this a special day. And I made a commitment to lock myself in prayer every night. And I will be praying. So this day, I went into prayer. I walked into that office room where I pray. Like I wanted to pray, just like we come to church. We do things just to honor God. But somehow God now visits you. That day, I had a visitation that changed my life. It marked my destiny forever. It was that day I knew that this Bible was not for any particular person. And God is no respecter of person, but God shows himself to those who really seek him with all their heart. Everything I've read in this Bible, in the book of Acts, I saw. I didn't want to go into the details this morning because that's a different focus. But today, 32 years ago, was when God called me officially into destiny and ministry. So I will never forget this day. It was my Christmas gift from heaven. So I brought you a gift. Amen. Courtesy of Cynthia's table. Amen. And I will tell you about this gift very soon. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles. As the Lord was speaking to me this morning, I felt I needed to take note for myself, and then I needed to take notes for things so I don't forget. So today, the question is, I don't want you to ever forget this word, why. What, somebody's going to get it before this year is over because of the way God has used it in my life. That word, why. Now it's very easy for me to find a solution if I can find the why for it. So today is, why was Jesus born? Why? Last week, we shared a lot about being in Christmas all our lives. We experience Christmas all our lives. But if every memorial stone, every remembrance of anything God has done in your life or done through the ages, if that day does not ignite something afresh, if that season does not awaken something afresh, you really need to watch it. This season ought to do something in our lives to take us to 2024. So if you let this season pass, it's like Jesus came, the awareness of him came, and he just passed. So I pray, because God changes us from glory to glory, from seasons to seasons. And I pray that this season will mark your life for 2024. Amen? So why was Jesus born? So today we're not going to do the traditional. All through this week, from last two Sundays, this whole month, we've been reading the stories of his birth from Matthew, Mark, and some of you have memorized it, you know it. So we're going to come from a different place, since we all know the story. And again, let's clap for our little ones. You don't know how difficult that was, and they did a good job. Thank you so much. Pastor Van read my heart this morning too when he read that scripture in Galatians chapter 4. It says that at the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those that are under the law. So we all know, everybody here knows that this happened 2,000 years ago. Amen. So we don't have to. So we want to start today. Why was Jesus born? So the first scripture is continuing from last Sunday. John 10:10. I want us to look at John 10:10. Why was Jesus born? John 10:10. We're going to be reading a lot of scriptures today, and I pray that God will speak to you through that. John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not, but for to what? Steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy." Now, Jesus says, I was born. I came to do what? I came that they might have what? Life. And not just life, but they have it what? Abundant. Why abundant life? First of all, the thief came through what you call a serpent, a deceiver. Everything you lose today is somebody that comes to deceive you. He came as a deceiver in that garden. When he came, the garden was perfect. The glory of God was there. The presence of God was there. Life was there. There never been rain. Adam had the whole world as the CEO of the world. He was so wealthy. He had everything. He was rich. And there was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no knowledge of it. There was no problem. Happily married. Amen? But the thief came. He came to steal their destiny. He came to steal the purpose for which they were planted in that place. So he came not just to steal. He stole their spiritual life. He killed so that sinners shall die. Killed. They died spiritually. And then eventually death came into the physical war, physical destruction of the body. So those are the three things the devil does up till today to man in different ways. But Jesus says, I came, I was born to bring life and life abundantly. So right from when that happened, God already planned to restore life and restore it abundantly. Amen? So from what I shared last week, because it's very important, you know, many people don't come with their Bibles to church. They come with their Bibles, but many people don't take notes anymore. The moment we leave this place, I don't know how much I remember, unless if it's really soaked in my heart. And then when you leave this place, you don't take notes, you don't make notes, you don't go home and study what you had again. The Bible says the birds of the air come and they just take those things from you. What are the birds of the air? Today, a lot of social media work, clouds, and eat it up all the way. Amen? The only way the word of God is digested is through meditation. What you read, you forget, but what you meditate goes into your soul. It does something to your spirit. And we'll see that later. So, let's look at Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke 19, 10. I want us to read another reason why Jesus was born. Amen? It says, for the Son, unto us a Son is what? Given. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. So, something was lost in that garden. Amen? Amen. And so Jesus came to restore and abundantly. So, looking back at last week, we now want to touch some things a little bit deeper about why Jesus came. He came to destroy the works of the devil and to give us life. So the three D's we looked at last week, let's look at it again. Number one, the three D's why Jesus came. All this is what Satan did. One was, first one is disobedience. Romans 5:19. Let's look at Romans 5:19. Romans 5:19 says the first D. For by one man's disobedience, many were made what? Sinners. You see it? One man's disobedience made many sinners. And so by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. So I want you to watch what obedience, disobedience creates sin. Huh? Manifests sin. But obedience manifests what? Righteousness. Take a note of that. Amen? So, we see the first D, disobedience. Disobedience produces sin. That's the first time sin came into the world. And so, let's look at what sin does. Romans 6:23. Let's look at Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin, the reward of sin. Huh? Yes. The only thing that sin produces is what? Death. Huh? But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. So look at this again. We started by disobedience produces sin. Huh? And sin leads to what? Death. And we see obedience produces righteousness and it's a gift. And they get, obedience produces righteousness that leads what to eternal life through Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So take note of this because the Lord is speaking to us by his word. Now, when disobedience came, sin came. And what does sin do? Let's open to 2 Corinthians, Galatians 5. Galatians 5:1. Let's look at Galatians 5:1. What does sin do? There are so many things sin does to us if you look at Romans and all through. But we just want to look at just one particular thing. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherefore Christ has made us free. So Christ came to set us free. From what? And be not again entangled with the yoke of what? Bondage. So disobedience creates sin. When you live in the life of sin, it produces death. And death and sin puts you in a, you are yoked in a bondage. That word yoke is you cannot be separated from doing evil. You cannot be separated from disobedience. You cannot be separated from rebellion. It's like, it's a marriage. It's like, that yoke means like a marriage. You're bound to everything that is contrary to what Christ came to do. But first, he says, let us stand fast first. Jesus came to bring liberty, freedom. Where we Christ has set us free. Freedom from what? From bondage. And he said we should never go back again to be yoked with bondage. So, the first D that Christ came to destroy was disobedience. We saw last week in Ephesians 2:2 where it says, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So, disobedience leads to a sinful lifestyle. A sinful lifestyle produces death. And is as long as you live in this world, you are alive physically, but you're spiritually dead. Huh? Spiritually dead. And that means you are alive, but you're not enjoying the reason why God created you. Because you're yoked with the bondage of this world. Amen? So Christ also came to set the captives free. Amen?
Amen?
Now, that's the first D. But we are not done with the D yet. There are so many things that sin brought into this world. And we want to establish them because these things are very important. So disobedience brings all this. So let's go now to, let's open to the book of 2 Corinthians 5:21. I want you to see, this is the word of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:21. When I want us to read it, it says, For he had made him to be what? Sin. Huh? For us who knew no what? Sin. That we might be made the righteousness of what? God in Christ. Receiving Christ is the only way you become righteous. Every other religion has to do something, sacrifice, do something to feel good about their life. Christ became sin. You see that sin that destroyed? Became sin so that we can become what? Righteous. In other words, disobedience brought death, brought sin, brought sickness, brought everything you can imagine. So Christ became that out of obedience, out of his obedience, he became that sin. And everything that sin, he died. Everything that sin produces, he manifested on that cross. And then he went to the ultimate, sin produces death. Amen? So, we now see that when you receive Christ, a miracle takes place and exchange is done. you enter into righteous life, and the things that righteousness produces start manifesting in your life. Let's open. So one of the things that sin brought, we're going to look at it very soon, and what righteousness did. So let's open to the book of 2 Corinthians 8:9. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians 8:9. We're still looking at disobedience, what disobedience did. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our what? Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what? Rich, yet for my sake he became what? Poor, that you through his poverty might be what? Sin brought poverty. Adam was very rich. He owned everything, and that was taken away from him. From the fall of man, poverty came into the world. I want to surprise you, and I pray God opens your eyes because we have somewhere to go. I'm not going to stay long in this area. I want to surprise you. One of the greatest bondages of humankind is poverty. But the surprise is this. Poverty has nothing to do with money. Poverty is in your mind. It's a bondage of the mind. Jesus described wealth this way for time. He says, you see, all these people that gave, the one that gave the most was the widow woman with the two mites. What does that mean? Why did Jesus single out a woman with mites, just two mites? He gave it all. He said, why was that woman more why was that woman rich than the others? Because only rich people give. It doesn't matter the amount. Poor people are afraid of money. Is their God. Wealth has nothing to do with what you have in your bank account. There are rich people that are in slavery, bondage to their wealth. They are not free. They are not wealthy. They are poor. A rich person gives. When I discovered that secret till today, I've never lacked. Because the ability to give is wealth. You walk in it. I've never lived with my bank account. Never had enough in my bank account. But the projects and the things God helps us to do are way beyond our bank account. Way beyond Man Zion's bank account. What Man Zion does, then we'll tell you when we were going through this. If you look at our bank account, we can't, you know, it's just now that the projects don't match. And it's the power of giving. He said there's one that withhold it and it leads to poverty. Wealthy people is not what you have in your bank account. Amen? So Jesus became poor. Amen? If you remember, let me tell you, before he became poor, that's on the cross. He took on sin. Sin brought all those things. He was stripped naked. He was stripped of everything. Before then, you will not hear that he had this big bank account. But when they come, some people came and said, we don't have money to pay taxes. We don't have money to do this. He says, let's go fishing. He had money everywhere. Amen? Whether it's a fish, whether it's a man, when God needs money, he knows where to bring it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, wealth, he became poor so that we can be rich. The blessings of the Lord makes rich, and he doesn't carry bondage with it, sorrow. So you see there again, the Bible talks about, when you talk about wealth, that's what I didn't want to say. Talk about, Paul says there are people who serve God who have entangled themselves with money that they have made shipwreck of their faith. So that's not wealth. Amen? So again, he became poor. So this came true. So disobedience brought sin. Sin brought bondage. And the manifestations of bondage comes in all kinds of things in this world. One of them is a poverty mindset. Poverty mindset. So my brothers and sisters, you don't have to have everything in your account, but you must have peace. There are rich people you're trying to think they're rich, but they don't have peace. That's not wealth. Solomon said it. Amen? Now, let's go quickly to... So we looked at disobedience, what it brought. Now, let's look at the second D. The second D is darkness. 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 So let's look at... open to 1 Peter 2:9. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:9. This is what Jesus came for, to destroy. 1 Peter 2:9. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a what? Chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. That you should show forth what? The praises of him who has called you out of what? Darkness into what? This is why Jesus was born. Why was he born? He came with a fresh blood that was different from the Adamic blood that has separated and made man unequal. But Jesus came with a blood that made everybody stand on the same plane. For those who believe, they can take it as far as they can. This is what Jesus did. He came from a royal family. Amen? He came from a wealthy family that owns the whole world. He came from a holy family, the kingdom of God, a holy nation. Amen? He came from a peculiar, that peculiar means a DNA that has never existed in the earth. A species that has never been born into the earth. He brought it for the first time into the universe through his blood. A peculiar people. He says that you will show forth the praises of him who brought us out of what? Darkness. Into what? Marvelous light. What is the two difference here? Number one was disobedience and leads to darkness. From the moment Satan took, they entered darkness. Adam and Eve were still seeing the sun. They were still enjoying the sun by day and the, you know, it was not that. What was darkness? Darkness is the absolute absence of God. Say whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. Darkness is, you cannot see anything spiritual. You cannot acknowledge God's existence. If you acknowledge his existence, you worship the things he created in place of him. Because they look so big to you that all you worship is what God has created instead of him that created it. When you're in darkness, you are possessed with fear. One of the greatest things that drives man today and that causes men is fear. Fear how I will pay my bills, fear of this, fear of that, fear of this, fear of that. That the word fear is the manifestation of what we call today insecurity. Remember again that fear, insecurity is not an expression of what you have. It's a spiritual thing in your soulish realm. I give you an example of what I mean by darkness brings fear. There was a man, his name is King Saul. He had a throne, he had a kingdom, he had everything. And the Bible says that when pressure came on his life and he saw David, they said, David has killed his 10,000, he's killed his 1,000. Immediately, fear came upon him. Mm-hmm. What is fear? If you study that word, it was insecurity. He had a throne. He had money. He had, but he became insecure about a young boy. That's what we mean by fear. He had money. You can have money. You can have everything. But you are not secure. You are not confident of life. You are driven by fear. You are possessed by fear. And the Bible says fear brings what? Torment. As they take drugs, they take alcohol. You take something just to numb your fear. Even when you have everything. So, fear is associated with darkness. Invisible darkness creates insecurity. Amen? So Jesus came to destroy that. Very soon I'll show you how the things he came with that destroy these things. So fear, let's look at, again, darkness brings fear. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. I want you to see that. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of insecurity, the spirit of fear." You can be in a top position. You can be, all of a sudden somebody just comes, you become insecure. Fear grips you. Fear, insecure. But he said, God has not given us that spirit. Because it's not the spirit of God. It's not the character of God. It's not the nature of God. But say, but God has given us not the spirit of fear, but what? Of power and of love and a sound mind. You can see what fear does from the soulish realm in the mind. When people are afraid, there's torment. And when you are tormented in your soulish realm, you start having a lot of nightmares associated with that torment. The devil takes advantage of it. So Jesus came. That's what Christmas is about. Not coming to church, coming and this season passes and not know what is available in Christ for us to be set free. Daisy or somebody quoted it, say, "Whom the Son set free is free indeed." But that's just scripture. Amen? That's what it's supposed to be. Now, we've looked at disobedience, what it leads to sin, it leads to all this stuff. This is what the human nature has found itself, flesh. Then it brings darkness. And we see that darkness is associated with a lot of things. When you are in darkness, you cannot see light. Amen? Amen. That scripture we read earlier says, we are a royal priesthood. I don't want to take time to go where. All the things God says we are. But if you're in darkness and you're not born again, you don't have Christ, you are looking at yourself based on the way you were born. If you're born, you don't have parents, or you're born, maybe your mom was something else, or your dad was this, or poverty, or this, or you're born from a rich family, from a royal home, you enter, because you're blind, you categorize your life based on your condition. Jesus came to destroy all that. And to give everyone what he has. Amen. And what he has? Royal priesthood. Amen. You are from a royal family. You have access to God as priest. And the privileges that come with that is available in Christ. Amen? Amen? So everything Satan came to do so that no matter how you are born, no matter the way you are born, all the things Satan did from the fallen man, he wants you to live in that condemnation, live in that situation. So you are tormented. But the moment you receive Christ, a new package came. It changes what you see and how you see it. You no more see yourself by the condition of your limitations and how you come. You begin to see yourself by the new life that is in Christ. That's why Jesus came. Amen. To destroy the works of the devil, from disobedience to darkness. Really quickly, let's go to the last D. So we're talking about three D's why Jesus was born. Why he had to be born. Oh yes. Death. Death. Again, let's go back to Romans, quickly to Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. What does death? For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus. Death. My brothers, it was Paul that says in Romans 15 that nothing, I'm paraphrasing, but he put it, he says, death was such it is something that man feared. Till today we all fear death. Is feared. Is so feared that until Christ came, Paul now said in first, he says, the sting of sin is what? Death. But it was then, Paul says now, death, where is your grave? Where is your... So, the coming of Christ, he came, I'm getting ahead of myself, he came to defeat death. Because death is the ultimate fear of man. Up to today, the worst threat you can get from any source is death. We'll kill your brother. We'll kill your sister. We'll kill this. We'll kill that. Man is terrified of death because it's the realm of the unknown. Man is terrified of death because they are not confident of what is after death. Man is terrified of death because they feel it's the end of the world. Man is terrified of the death because of the human engagement on the soulish realm. Death is the most fearful thing to every human being, even to kings and to presidents. Everybody fears death. How did it come about? He came from disobedience. So Jesus came, he said, to give what? Life? Huh? Yes. But abundantly means forever. So the wages of sin is dead, but the gift of Christ, the gift of God is not just this life, but what? Eternal life. Eternal life. The least you can ever enjoy of the kingdom of God is in this world. Even if you're a billionaire and you're a Christian, you have not even tasted what the kingdom of God has yet. So the least you can suffer in the kingdom is here in this world. Life. So death is the fear of hopelessness, the fear. But what is death? Death simply defined, because there are people walking out there, they are dead, but they are still walking. So what does death mean? There is a spiritual death, there's a physical death. Death simply means the absence of God, separation from God. Amen? Amen? Today, you have light. You can see. You can see the things of God. You can. So, really quickly, we're going to look at three things. Three things that Jesus came for to destroy is disobedience, exchange for obedience, darkness, exchange for light, and then death. So let's look at the three L's that Jesus brought for us. Three L. L. Amen? L. The first one is love. Jesus says in John chapter 15 verse 10, to show you, you can never obey God if you don't have him. Because the spirit of disobedience is in the world. It's in all of us. See, obedience is not when somebody says, you obey people because they do something good for you. Obedience is when you obey something that is good for you, but you don't know it's good for you. Amen? Amen. The word of God is good for us. Amen?
Amen?
But we don't obey it because it's bad for our flesh. So, the flesh only obeys what is good for the flesh. If I say, oh, you can, I'll do this for you if you do this. Yeah, you go do it. Amen?
Amen?
But if the flesh has nothing to gain, the flesh will rebel. That's why the spirit of disobedience. The flesh lives by what they call conditional love. Amen? So let's look at quickly, let's open to the book of John 15 verse 10 to show you that you can never obey God if you don't have God in you, Christ in you. He says, if you keep my commandments, he didn't even say asking you, pleading with you. It's a command. It's something God requires for your good. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my what? Love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. What happened to Adam? Adam disobeyed God's command. And that's what sin is. So disobedience brings sin. Obedience is from the manifestation of God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his son. His son coming into our life is the only way you can obey God. Amen? Because the kingdom of God is a spiritual one. So Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Amen? So we see the first L, which is love. Love carries a lot. Is what destroys disobedience. You will do anything for people you love. Amen? So Jesus is saying, if you don't love me, you're not going to do what I say. But if you love me, you do what I say. Amen? Amen? Other than that, anything we do is always for self-benefit. If it doesn't benefit me, I'm not going to do it. That's flesh. But if it will benefit others, I'll go to the cross. If it's for this, Jesus died not for his sin, but because he was obeying the Father against his will. That cannot come from a human mind. It has to come from a nature of love. So when we receive Christ, we receive the spirit of obedience. Amen? Amen. When we receive Christ, we receive the love of God by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's look at Galatians 5 really quickly. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 to 23. These are the manifestations of love. And we call it the fruit of the Spirit. But this is how love manifests. This manifestation destroys the spirit of disobedience. It destroys rebellion. It destroys every other thing. And it begins to produce the effect, it destroys the effects of disobedience. Everything I read to you that disobedience brings, the moment you start obeying God from love, these are the things that will start growing in you. Peace. Remember the angel said, joy has come, joy to the world. Peace to all men. What? Long suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, submission, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When the Lord taught me, I have it in my diary, taught me what joy means, what peace means, long suffering. Maybe one of these days in 2024, I could share with you. It is not what we think these things are. It's in the Bible, but with it, joy has nothing. Anyway, that's not. So the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is an annihilation. It destroys spirit of disobedience and the things that come with it. He came to destroy the works of the devil, not just by speaking it, but by manifesting the fruit of it. Amen? The next L that, for time, the next L that Jesus brought in place of darkness is what? Light. Again, it was quoted during worship here, John 1, 4, 5. Let's read John 1, 4, 5. The reason I'm saying here, so we can see it together. This is not the words of man. Amen? John 1, 4 and 5. 4 says, in the beginning, of course, you all know the scripture. 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. And everything was created by the Word. There was nothing created that was created without the Word. Then it says in verse 4, in him was what? Life. And the life was the light of man. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot stop it, cannot comprehend it, cannot resist it. My brothers, Jesus came to take us from darkness to light. He's not talking about physical darkness. He's talking about powers of darkness, forces of darkness that intimidates the whole human race. These are satanic structures that today Satan uses to darken cultures and nations and religions to keep men in slavery from the things of God. Darkness. Mindsets. Amen? That's darkness. So Jesus came to bring light. What is the light? He came, he said, God is light and in him there is no darkness. The kingdom of God is light. Now let me tell you, from when Satan was cast out of heaven, he became an embodiment, a manifestation of outer darkness. The Bible, Paul says, the power of darkness. Amen? If you turn these lights off, this place, really turn it dark, is pitch black, you can't even walk past here and see where you're going. Amen? Darkness means you are in this world, but you don't know where you're going. You don't even see where you're going. You're walking, you're stumbling through life, and you're going through so much stumbling. You're going through just because it's dark. You're walking in darkness. You're living in darkness. That's the world system. That's the world culture. That's the systems of the world. Amen? It's darkness. Even though you see light, but the system you're living in is dark. The wisdom is foolish wisdom because it's anti-God's wisdom. For you to walk in light, you have to walk in the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is foolishness to this world. And what is the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is the word of God. When you live by this word, your mind, your body says you are foolish, you are stupid. Why are you doing this? Because it's contrary to the systems of this world. That's what Jesus came to destroy. So that we can walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen? Amen. 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 So really quick, you walk in the light, of course. That's why I say walk by faith and not by what? Sight. So you cannot be a human being if you're not walking by sight. So faith makes you completely seeing things from a different perspective from the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you can't see. Unless you're born of the Spirit, you cannot enter into it. That's why Jesus came. Amen? Amen. That's why we're celebrating this season. That's why he's born. Number three. So out of three D's came three L's. The first L is love. The second is light. And the third is what? Life. So let's look at that John 1 again. I'm just skipping these things quickly. John 1, 4. John 1, 4 says, again as we read, in him was what? Life. And the life was with the light of men. And my brothers and sisters, when you read that word life, it's not talking about the life we live here. It's not talking about this man that was born from my father's generation. The life he's talking about is John chapter 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was what? God. Then he says, that God, that Word is life. The word in Greek for life is Zoe. The life that God himself is what Christ has. That life is what we have when we receive Jesus. And that life cannot die. It's eternal. In him was life. And that life, the fruit of that life, is what I just shared with you from Galatians chapter 5. The life is contrary to the flesh. So when you live contrary to the flesh, I can't give enough examples here. Amen? Amen. When it's very obvious, anyway, praise the Lord. If we go certain direction, we'll go too far. Time. It is the life, Jesus said. If somebody slap you here, turn here. If somebody take advantage of you, give them everything. He's talking about, that's just theory. But you know yourselves that there are situations you faced in, you saw yourself acting totally opposite to who you would have been. Somebody said, what this person did to me, I just thank God I am saved. If it was the way I used to be, this person would not be alive now. Does that make sense? Because who that person used to be, he will chop your ears just and eat it in front of you for making him angry. And now the person says, I love you, I forgive you. That's light. Amen? People that used to know that person say, is that drug leader? Is it that harlot? He's saying, I have no use for this. That drunkard, you now become a light. Because the life in you shows something is different. That life is light. Amen? Amen. Now, really quick, you remember the why, W-H-Y. First, once you understand the why Jesus came, the reason he was born, we just looked at the three D's and we looked at the three L's that brings all the solution to our life today. What we're talking about is not just, is today what these three things does for us. Amen? How? How do we allow these things, Jesus in us, how do we allow this life of Christ to destroy these works in our lives? Amen? How do we? Amen. 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 Merry Christmas. Amen. Amen. Who wants a gift? Okay. Who wants a gift? Just wave at me. Okay. You see, if I ask you if you want this gift, and I've told you what is inside. It's a lot. It's a lot inside. It's life. There's light. There's power. Everything. Sound mind. Everything. How many of you would say you want it? Everybody. So, what is the message you are preaching to sinners? Why are they not wanting Jesus? If all of us can, this is what, nobody wants to refuse this. Why are they not accepting Christ? Maybe we're not packaging it like this. Amen? But for us that have accepted Christ, eh? Okay. Bomati. Bomati, you receive Christ. Okay. Everything I shared right now is in Christ. The love, the light, and the life. Everything destroys every deed that is in our lives. It's inside here. Huh? Yes. Just hold it. Now, Bobati receives Christ. It's a gift. The gift of God is internal. He receives Christ. Okay, you can hold it there. Amen. Amen. How many of you receives Christ today? We've all received Christ. Just like Bomati. This Christmas, the Lord really dealt something in my heart. And that's what I'm sharing this message today. He said, a lot of my children have received me. I'm in there. But they don't open the gate. Don't open it. You're not. They don't open the gift. You have Christ. Because the light has power to deed some. The life, everything I've shared is in this Christ. He said they've received it. They have not. Some have opened it to someone else. Some have. But he said, I should let you know. This is really the gift. In the beginning was the what? The word was with what? And the word was what? The word was made flesh. That's Christ, isn't it? So you receive Christ. You eat. Let's say this word is inside of you. Do you think there's nothing this word can do? Where is obedience? So the Lord said to tell you, he's never lied to any of us. It doesn't matter the condition we are in. Whether it's sickness, whether it's poverty, whether it's mind struggle, whether it's, no matter what we're going through, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, I can tell you in my son that is in you, and by his spirit, I have given you everything that I have to take care of every need that you have. He says, this is what he says in Psalms chapter 1. He says, he that meditates, he that takes time to open the gifts, open it and really eat it, chew it. That word meditate is chew, eat. It's to eat the word. And really, he says, shall be like a tree planted by waters, whose fruit, meaning seasons will come, all these things the enemy thought he has in your life will begin to go. He says it's like, God is not lying. He said your life will be like a tree that is planted if you eat. There's a difference between eating and reading. You read, you eat, it produces something. We'll be like a tree planted by the waters whose fruit comes in season. And listen to this, it says, and the leaves never wither. That's healing. Healing is not always automatic. They say everything is a process and a test of faith. But he sent his word to heal. He sent his word from poverty to riches. He sent his word. Everything that I share with you on Christmas is, God is saying, eat. There's life here. Then, as if it's not enough, he said, Joshua 1:8. He confirmed the same thing he said to David. Facing problems, facing discouragement, facing all these giants, all these things, holding you from your promise, from your destiny, every lie of the enemy, Joshua, you're going to face it. But you know what? Nothing will stand. Nothing will stop you from taking away your faith. But the condition is you got to eat. Meditate on this word day and night that you might be able to obey. Do it. And then that you might have success. It says in everything you do, your hands will, Lord, prosper. I want to challenge you. 2024. I want you to take, write the problems you're going through, especially the stubborn ones that have not moved. Write them down. I want to challenge you to meditate on the word of God day and night and see what happens. Day and night. Study. Eat and see what happens. If you will not hear from God, or if something will not shift from this word in your life, try this as a medication. Day and night, you will have a testimony. You will have a testimony. Because this medication can solve anything. The voice of God will come out of this. If God sees you meditating morning, night. I say, God, you said this is my medication. you will hear something one day. And that brings me to this. What I just shared with you was in knowledge. I was astray, I was lost, I was miserable. I came from Nigeria totally. God blocked everything. I didn't know then. Had nothing. When I came, I said, God, you brought me here. Whatever it takes, don't let me go back to my former lifestyle. I started crying. God, I need you. Wherever you are, whoever, I just cannot go back to living. I know whether I went to school, I didn't go to school, engineer, I don't care. My life is not controlled by this. Something is running my life. I don't know what it is. Then now I know it's the God of this world. I cried and I cried. And God brought me to Cleveland. As I came here, God spoke to me. I gave my life to God. And from that day, my eyes opened. And the Lord says, if you can fast and if you can pray, I will meet you. I meditated on this Bible morning, afternoon, night. I was eating it morning, afternoon, night. I was praying. Suddenly, today, I'm talking to you before the presence of the Lord. 17 years ago, God says, you want me? Here I am. I experienced God in a way that was the end for me. You can never encounter Christ and live the way you used to live. This world has no grip on your soul when God touches it. There's a reason why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, King, my position, your wealth, all this, and put me in the fire, cannot touch what I have experienced. You put me in that fire, it's okay. You don't put me, if he delivers us, it's okay. Why? You have experienced something more than life. David said, you are more than life itself. When you experience Christ, so I challenge you. It doesn't matter what you need. It doesn't matter the need. Eat this Bible. Study. I challenge you. You know what this means? What I'm trying to tell you. There's a woman. She went to doctors and her money went out. There's a blind man. He has been blind for a long time. But when he heard about Christ and what he carries, the woman pressed. The blind man pressed. What? How do you press in our time? I just told you. My brothers and sisters, thank you, Bomati. Amen. I just told you what is in here. Your healing is there. Everything is here. Where we are now is how is God says, if you will seek me day and night, meditate, I will speak my word. I will tell you what to do. And that situation, 2024 will not be there.
Amen.
The last thing is, who? In that spelling, W-H-Y, you have the why, we've gone through it, why Christmas, why we're born. How? If God is giving you an answer, come after me and find out, prove me. Who? That's the W. That word who is a very big question. When I had a problem, I didn't know I was the one that had a problem. Everything else, my life was ruined when I came. It was finally I came to a place where I felt I need God. It's me. I really need God. Because you can do anything. I know that. I am the one that needs you. So the question is, who receives a miracle is the one who needs it. Who finds him is the one who needs it. You can sit in church for 30 years and not be that who. And just be playing religion. Everybody else is a problem. Everybody else, you are content with the condition of slavery in the mind Satan has put you. You think, until you become the who, the how will become your how. And the why, God will show up. Father, I thank you. I honor you, Father. Thank you because you never lie. Your word is called the good news. You have never changed. You are the same yesterday to blind Bartimaeus. You are the same yesterday to the woman with the issue of blood. You have never changed. You sent your word. You have defeated giants. You have given promised lands. You part the sea when it's needed. Father, you are still a miracle worker. Father, open our eyes and our ears. You said you are the answer. You are the reason for the season. Yes. Father, give us the humility to say, I need help. And give us the grace to pursue your instruction. You have never failed. You did it for me. You're doing it for your people. Father, I pray that everyone who has heard your voice today, they know how to find their miracle. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you glory.